June 14th, 2012, it's a Watt from Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro Show. Except I ain't in Pedro, I'm in Silver Lake. It's still SoCal, but it's about 28 miles north. And what's going on today? Oh, I should tell you, we started the show off with John Coltrane along while he was playing for Mr. Thoreau this month, and something called Trankle Tankle. And then we heard In the Tree by Sawako. And what I'm doing here, this club used to be Spaceland for a long time. Well, it used to be a gay disco called California Dreams. And I think the sign still says that.
Yeah.
And then it was Spaceland for a lot of years. Nothing to do with Fuzzyland, of course. Jack Cinders, I don't always say anything about that. But now it's called The Satellite, so it's my first time playing here in this incarnation. And what it is it's an Ord Music Showcase. And it's... I got the honor of playing with a bunch of bands. I think the only one I've played with before is Chuck's band. I played with them last week in Long Beach, his sextet. But some cats from Omaha, which is where D. Boone's pops from, called Capgun Coup, is here. And they're my guests. And first time I get to see them play live, we're going to play some music that I got hold of their music from... Or music people, and but I want to know the story. I'm curious. You know, last week we had a brother Jonathan, bass man from Nebraska, and about his journey through music. And there's a lot of ways from Nebraska to SoCal, and these guys probably have their own too. So, would you introduce?
I'm Greg Elsasser of Capgun Coup.
Here's Greg.
And I'm Sean Pratt.
Sean.
Andrew.
Well, Andrew from Org, and Jonathan here. So we got a little peanut gallery.
Yeah.
So we only got the main two dudes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How'd you get started in music?
I just started playing with my friend Sam. He was also in the band. And
what town?
Omaha.
Omaha.
Grew up there.
Yeah.
When I was like 19, I started playing music. And
okay.
Then,
you didn't start till 19?
No, I'm like a visual. I've been a visual artist my whole life.
Painter.
Painter, illustrator.
Yeah, draw.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend Betty Bone.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah. I mean, I just got started.
What drew you to it?
Sam was always like recording.
Oh, well, Sam got you in it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. So we would just like start recording and just messing around.
And Sam had been doing it since he was a boy and shit.
Since he was like 14, I think, recording. So we started making songs.
Your first instrument.
Piano.
Piano.
His mom had a piano.
So you just Jerry Lee Lewis'd it?
Yeah, and then I got some
with
keyboards.
The heel and shit, the elbow.
And then, well, he had all these instruments, so I kind of just started playing everything, I guess. I play a ton of instruments now, but
you know, Saccharine Trust. Joe Baez has taught himself guitar at 27.
Whoa, sweet. Oh, nice.
He just turned 60. You're dealing with some older punk people.
Yeah, just play with Chuck's band.
Yeah, yeah. They had that thing October Faction for a while.
Yeah. And like when I was like 20, we moved out of our parents' house to Midtown into this house where...
Yeah, come close. It's all right.
There was three wings in this house, and like 7 rooms each. And
wow, it was a big pad.
Yeah, our friends lived in the middle section, and we moved in, 7 of us moved into the west wing section. And so we just started having house shows and touring bands come through and like take donations and like... House shows like every
Pedro
week.
Had that happening.
Yeah,
on 13th Street.
Yeah, this was on 38th and Farnham, and it used to be called the Gunboat.
Yeah.
And then.
And you're just playing in the living room.
Pad. Yeah.
And it's out of town bands.
Yeah.
That's what happened here.
Yeah.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
They were telling me they're doing whole tours without even playing a club, just doing pads
house
the
shows,
whole
yeah.
country.
Yeah, it's rad.
Fuck. So did you got you and Sam make a band?
Yeah, so we made a band like when we moved out to that place. That's when Capgun Coup started. We got our friend Eric Olson. He was playing drums tonight, playing drums, and Jesse McKelvey plays some guitar.
Yeah.
And,
Well, what about your buddy? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
How'd you get on bass?
I started...
There's a Nebraska bass man there.
Yeah. I just started playing bass, like, 2 years ago.
2 years?
When they asked me to play. I've been a guitarist since.
Yeah, but look, the first years of bass are fucking intense, because... Think about bass. Most humans, the longer they do something, the more they do. But because of low frequency, we get really small. So more notes ain't good for us. We're always on the search for the right notes. So when you're kind of starting and you're playing fewer, actually you write better bass lines and shit. They're not all busy ass. And,
definitely.
Yeah, we've gone through two different basses.
Like, so you know about this, right?
Yeah.
So don't... I know some dudes, man, I just started. Actually, what will happen is I'll watch dudes play, and after they're done, I got a little bias. I kind of key on the bass. What I'm thinking is probably 90% chance he didn't write the tune.
Yeah.
So he had to put a part to it. So I'm thinking, what would I put? So I'm checking it out, and I'll go out after. And yeah, I'll be like, I just started last week. Because I'll say, man, I dug that playing, and they'll be all embarrassed. But this can happen with bass.
Oh, yeah.
It's because of the physics.
Yeah.
That's why. That's why the strings are big, man. So you were a guitar man. Now this is kind of Jonathan actually started on bass, which was a newer thing because in the older days, or like by younger days, that's all bass players were, unless they were in the school band, you know, stand up in the orchestra. They were cats who couldn't. There was already so many guys playing guitar, they wanted a gig. No one wanted to rock the bass.
Yeah.
So they ended up on it. And some of them were badass. I mean, Carol Kay, you know, the incredible bass lady on those sessions. She started as a guitar. A lot of, in the old days that happened, so don't feel weird like you were Canyon or you were soiled. It's only 2 years ago, but how'd you get into guitar? How'd you get into music?
I've always been drawn towards it. I started playing guitar when I was like 14.
14? Junior high?
And
wow. How? Did you have music people in your family? Your mom had the piano?
Yeah, no. My friend's mom had the piano. There's no musical in my family.
Same with me.
Yeah.
I just dug D. Boone a bunch of wanted to hang out with him. I remember I was telling Jonathan about the Creed, you know, because all he knew was Creed's when I met him.
Oh, shit.
And I couldn't hear the bass lines on them songs. I can now, but not in those days.
Yeah.
So that's why I got into flannels. I thought if I wore John Fogerty's shirts, he wouldn't still like me. But they could not figure out. They had it low and muddy and just murky. It wasn't like Cream or The Who, you know.
Yeah.
Or Larry Graham or James Janet. I couldn't hear the bass parts.
Yeah, right.
I can now, but it took a little while.
Yeah, sure.
So you were playing guitar really young, 14. Did you have bands before
the
Cap Gun Coup? That's a great name. Who named it?
Sam and I.
That's great. Because I read the Stalin book, there's a lot of coup shit. Yeah. And just the idea of a cap gun. I wish. It's a great name. So you were in a band before?
Yeah, I've been in
tons
of number
of
bands, yeah.
Oh, he's the third bass man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we had one go to entomology school, the other one went to rehab, and then
same thing. No, that's Bugs, right?
Yeah.
Gotta play some music. Yeah. We'll play some music. We'll get back to the Cap Gun Cruise.
Things will get better when it's Easter. I used to stick. People will be happy if I go. I won't go out again. Darling, don't you worry about me, though. I've never been free, no, not really. Darling, don't you worry about me, though. I've never been free enough. I loved it when we used to
To have smiling, helmet head, mouth wide open. One thing is fucked up, surely hoping.
Watt from Pedro Show. We missed out on the essential information about Gunboat. Sorry. Actually, you have another name called Hotel Frank to get a rise out of Frank. And Frank ran the place?
He was just the only grown-up with a job. So. Yeah.
He's a grown-up.
Yeah. Well, oh. He pretended. Yeah.
Like
he had
me.
A job. It's basically like a 9-to-5. So we named the house after him because he was the only one that had anything to lose that was living there.
Ah, whoa.
Yeah.
The cleanup man, or the broom man. We heard, it's tonight here at the Satellite, it's Org Music Showcase, so we got, I got some music here from the Org Music folks of the bands playing, and Yellow Red Sparks, I didn't know what the order was, so I just guessed. Yellow Red Sparks with My Machine Gun, Chuck Dukowski Sextet with Alchemists of Poison, Dot Hacker with Order Disorder, Brother Jonathan, bassman on that man. And Laugh Cry, Cap Gun Coup, and Boot Wearing Fishman, Watt, from my opera, Hyphenated Man. I thought I would be first, and I am. So good. But like I got all the other ones wrong, so fuck it. They play when they play. People, you know, you ain't going to be here anyway. But, we're just getting ready for it, and I get to meet these cats and tell about their music journeys. In fact, some of their other members just appeared.
Indeed.
Yeah, you want to introduce?
I'm Sam.
Sam.
I do vocals and guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My name is Jesse. I play guitar.
Yeah.
Sing a little bit as well, backing up Sam.
Yeah.
She's just my fiance.
Okay.
Emily.
It's all right. Drummy's out.
Drummer's out there somewhere. His name's Eric.
And he's probably putting together a set, probably.
Yeah.
Is that him? Oh, it's Chuck. Hey, Chuck. A little while, I want to talk to you on the show. Okay. Okay.
Power up.
How'd you get into music? Because went over their trips.
I was.
This is a veterano of many, many bands, and he's come to be a third baseman.
Yeah. I was just super into Star Wars stuff, so I collected that, and then. Then I went to Seattle and.
What is that like music? I got a Star Wars story about music. I met a guy in Ireland. He said that's how he got his first guitar. He sold some Obi-Wan Kenobi dude for a whole bunch of bucks.
That's exactly how I got my first. That's what he's getting at. Yeah.
This guy's name was Tommy.
Okay.
And that's how he got into music, was selling off one of his trips.
My spiritual doppelganger.
Okay, and it was enough to get a guitar and an amp?
Yep, got a guitar and an amp, started a band. And
so you never played before that?
No. I always like sang for my grandma. Like,
sang for your grandma. Play the radio.
Yeah.
Play the record player.
Yeah.
Remember when Jethro? He's all the fiddles out there. Because this one plays the best. He's got a little fucking handle on his
stuff.
Yeah, well, like music box.
Oh, sure.
This one, Jim or Uncle Jim. So, and this your first band?
Second band.
Second
or
band.
Third. I don't know. Well, I've been in a little bit. Yeah. Second band.
Second band?
Yeah.
What was that first band?
Beef with the Sea.
Beef with the Sea?
Yeah, it was like from like 14 to like 17.
Oh, being young. Hardcore?
No, we were like Mars Volta meets Prague? Surf. I don't know. I can't explain it.
Don't matter. Weird. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good
I thought you guys sounded like
Omaha? Oh, you knew this band?
Yeah, I've known Sam since.
Yeah.
Pretty young.
Pixies. You guys sound like Pixies.
Yeah. Pixies.
Yeah.
mixed with Norse folk.
Pixies with a child vocalist. Yeah.
We had an incredible bass player and an incredible.
How'd you get confusing?
Oh, well, one beautiful Christmas there arrived.
How old?
A drum set and a guitar. I was about 10.
10?
Yeah, so there's an acoustic guitar in my house all of a sudden, a drum set, and the drum set was for my brother, but he didn't really ever pick it up, so I played drums and guitar all the time whenever I could.
They just came, you didn't ask.
Oh, we were all about it.
Okay, yeah, so you asked.
We asked.
There's music people in your
year
family?
Year after year we asked.
Music and people in your family?
Not so much my parents, but my grandfather was... He was a pianist in a brothel at some point, like
yeah.
When he was growing.
That's how jazz got started.
Yeah.
Jazz is start for jasmine. Jasmine's strong. You ever smell that?
Yes.
It was to cover up the fuck smell. And the piano, they didn't have radios and shit yet, so they needed to do jamming to cover up the fuck hollering.
That's crazy.
Yeah, well. It's okay. It's okay. And that's why they got in here improvising. You're playing for hours. It's like, God damn, I'm wearing this motherfucker. You start... Yeah, Billie Holiday was a cowgirl in one of those bands. It's all about that shit. Okay. Hey, Raul.
What's up?
8:45.
All right.
Just don't answer your fucking weed.
I'm fucking driving. Oh, two hands on the reason. Wheel.
You got one of them
Bluetooth? No,
what about this thing with the just the wider thing that just puts it to your head?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no, yeah, just like...
It's a, while you're sleeping.
Yeah, it's like a clothes hanger that just... slams the phone to your head. There's no wire, no electronics. It's just this mechanical. Yeah,
you're not
going to
answer?
If
I could answer.
So who put together the Cap Gun coup?
These guys were the first that are still in the band.
Okay. Sam and I. Yeah.
Right, okay.
We went to kind of like a ruffian school, and I don't know, every day after school we go hip-hop or something.
Ruffian school.
It's like an alternative school. They let us smoke cigarettes there when we were like 16.
Ruffian.
I don't know why you said that.
Because that means kind of tough.
Kind of when you're not going to make it through a regular public school, you have to go to like kind of a
magnet school? We got in here.
It's an alternative school is what they like to call it.
Oh, Darby. You know, Kay went to those.
Yeah, we got kicked out of
high school. You know about this? No, this is the old days, right? In the 70s and stuff. But Darby, there was a school like that on the west side that they went to. Well, they said they're kind of gifted, too.
Yeah.
Kind of gifted, but emotionally not two together. So get them out from the Mersch kids and maybe they'll, like,
do something cool or something, yeah.
This is a drummer.
Oh, the drummer man. How'd you get into drums?
You know, I just kind
of... How old?
14, 15.
What happened? Did a drum set appear at Christmas?
Pretty much. No. I always really wanted to play drums.
You know his parents?
Did that happen?
Yeah, he said, actually the drum set was for his brother, but he bum rushed. Or he didn't get into it. He's wasted it.
I bum rushed too, yeah.
Yeah. But he was also neglecting it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just really wanted to play, and
yeah.
My parents were like, well, if you do, you got to go buy a drum set. I was like, all right.
I got to ass you, inspiration. Bass man? Guitar man?
I don't even know.
You ever had an inspiration?
Billie Holiday?
Billie Holiday, yeah. Great singer.
K-Records, I guess?
Calvin.
Yeah.
Calvin just sent me an email. He's getting a thing together for Woody's 100th birthday.
Whoa.
Calvin's cool people, man.
Cool, yeah.
Calvin's...
Yeah, I like
to hear jazz. You know? Calvin, like Hank, like Ian, like a lot of the guys.
Sweet.
Of the old days, they're still they are what they are though.
Yeah,
they were never playing a game. They were never working a hustle. Big influence, drumming influence.
Influence. I always liked a lot of like East Coast, like Washington D.C. scene.
Earl.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just always a little more funkier to play or something.
Yeah.
A lot of energy.
Yeah.
That's
for
the
sure.
kind of stuff I was really.
He started
really
a fusion
into.
Band. Gary told Dr. Gone told me.
Really?
Yeah. He was the bass man. He said.
Yeah.
Influence?
As far as guitar, anybody that's better than me.
Okay.
From people around me to like, you know, Leo Kottke type dudes, just
he's bad.
Watching dudes shred guitars.
Petra
just really something.
He's bad.
I also like the Velvet Underground a lot, too.
As a band? Yeah.
Yeah. Or
Lou. And Lou Lewis, a songwriter.
John Cale.
John Cale, great, big hero of mine.
Yeah.
Miniman got to play with him once. He wanted to fight us. He didn't want to move his piano. It was a bad period of his life. Well, or a tough, a challenging period. So. And I'm not moving this piano. And we were like, yeah, we would be very honored to play with John Cale's piano between us.
Yeah.
Since you are. And then D. Boone had these big ass, I guess the soldiers used them to put over the uniform so chemical warfare didn't get on the real army clothes.
Yeah.
So I had no pockets. So I was tripping him out. He goes, "What? So you don't have to feel the weight of the heavy coin?" Or bear the weight or something. And D. Boone laughed and George, you know, they went off.
Yeah.
He figured, you know, we weren't going to fight with him. We loved him. You know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Everybody leaves and it's just me and him in there. It's a Fender's ball in the Long Beach. And he goes, "Sit down." He's a Welsh guy. And he got on the piano. "I walk down the streets of Laredo." You know, he does that cowboy song. He sang me that whole fucking song.
Jeez.
And just sitting at the, up there looking at him. He had like some, I don't know, surfer t-shirt and cutoffs. And it was a weird period.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of him. He was a bass man in Velvet Sky and Viola.
He was a badass.
Okay, so started doing gigs first at this house, at the Gunboat.
Yeah, in the so-called underground.
And so-called, so doing gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And then what, record?
Yeah, well, we always record.
Right from
Tim
the
and I would always record just bullshit. And then
every day, yeah.
And then what, bring it to the band?
Either way, yeah. Or we just like, sometimes we won't record something just so it doesn't get too developed so the band can fuck with it.
And what about touring? Did that start?
We've done it.
Yeah,
well, for sure you're here in Cali.
we went on tour with some people we knew from Omaha in some bands.
Who's out there? The Faint?
The Faint.
Are they still together?
They're playing some more shows.
Because they were big for a while, huh?
Yeah.
And we were talking about the 311, but they moved out to Cali a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to...
Cursive.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
So you went out with all those guys, like supporting and stuff?
Yeah, right.
Wow. So sort of like a scene here with Flag and...
Yeah,
totally.
SST, me, Puppets, Who's
Yeah, it's really close-knit musical. And
was there a label there? I know Connor started a label there, right?
That was our label before ORG, yeah.
Is that right?
Connor's label is out of New York, but it's called Team Love Records. But Saddle Creek Records is there, and Speed Nebraska is there, and...
What's your label?
We're on org, but
yeah, I know, but did you have your own label personally?
No, Team Love put out our first
We did originally
On this record label called Slumber Party Records.
Yeah.
That we started in Omaha.
Yeah.
So it's basically just fun about us. We just put it out, but we just had a name for it, and now that they put out more albums now and stuff, you know.
The label went strong.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear those stories.
Yeah.
Like the people made this software, I just found out, keels out of the water. You can believe that shit.
Yeah,
bye bye.
Yeah.
So, but that's great. That's just, they actually more and more because it's tough for labels.
Yeah, totally.
Especially
tough
nowadays,
for labels.
Man. Like everything's online.
What you gotta do? Yeah, right. So what you gotta do is have some interesting physical stuff that you sell at the gigs, huh?
Yeah, totally.
Like T-shirts.
But
even music. You have to
put
the music in a form. That's not just sounds, so people get it.
Yeah, like a package. Like this last record, we screen printed on the cellophane, so it looks like a package. So
you
take it off, it's like a wrapping paper.
How'd you get involved with the org people? Because that's my connection with
our
you.
Our friend Corey gave Andrew our record, I think.
Yeah.
Our last record, and then he got a hold of us and just kind of... went from there. And
I guess we sent him out new stuff.
And then he liked the new stuff.
So which tour is this for you?
This is a for lack of a better word, like a residency. We're staying out in L.A. for the month.
Wow.
We're playing shows in the area. We just played San Diego last night.
Where, Casbah?
Huh?
Casbah?
We played at
the Griffin.
Yeah, it's
I think it's only been open for like a year.
It used to be a dive bar. It's still kind of divey.
Okay. Casbah's the pad I like playing.
Okay,
there.
Yeah, right on.
But how many times around the country have you been?
We've been...
Because those first tours were probably regional, right? It was around those areas.
Well, one of them... The first one, we did like a figure eight. We went down to... out of Omaha, down to Oklahoma, and out to the West Coast, up the West Coast, down to Texas, did South by Southwest, went up to New York, came back down.
Oh, wow.
And then we went back out with... That was with Tilly and the Wall, this band from Omaha.
And some with Cursive.
And then we went back out with Cursive. And then we did a southern tour with Cursive and some shows with Bright Eyes.
And the Good Life, too.
And the Good Life.
Yeah.
So like three, four, five.
We've done
this
like
the time.
We've done about four regional tours and like one U.S. tour.
Okay. And so you're going to be here. Would you guys come straight out from Omaha here?
Yeah, we drove straight through one night.
Yeah.
Not one night, you know, just like.
I-80, right?
4 hours. Didn't sleep, 26 hours. 80
Jesus
to like.
It was switching the wheel off, dude.
Yeah. Red Bull.
See, my boat is up front.
Yeah.
I've been through five of them.
Shit. Yeah, this one we got for $800.
See, these are from the bass strings. These are from the steering wheel. And they're bigger. Actually, because these motherfuckers got to get more like moccasins.
Yeah.
These are pads, downward pads.
Yeah.
I just did one. Fuck yeah. Usually a U.S. tour, because you see us out here in the West. Mm-hmm. We're almost like you guys, where there's a lot of space in between.
Yeah.
Actually, you're Midwest. Once you get going a little east,
it gets
kind of close for you.
Yeah.
For us, man, the next state's 400 miles. You know, right? Arizona and the Phoenix and shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you go the other way, it's 800 miles.
Yeah, fuck.
So, a U.S. tour for me is about 15,000 miles.
Yeah, right.
And what I do is I do clockwise in the fall, counterclockwise in the spring.
Nice.
So you want to get out of the north before the cold, let the south cool off.
Yeah, right.
The other time of the year, you want to get out of the south before it's too sweaty.
Yeah.
Wait for the north to thaw.
Yeah, nice.
Even on this last thing here where I did West Coast, and I was just doing Siskiyou Pass between Cali, and this is in April, right? Cali and Oregon. The fuck is this coming through? It's the highest point on I-5. And then even getting to the Coachella thing, I had a grapevine got closed down. I had to come through Tehachapi. And again, it's like, you know, coming out of Shasta, the ball peen hammers with the hail.
Yeah, Jesus, man.
This is California, you know.
Yeah, no shit.
So weather gets really intense when you're on tour.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Take it for granted when you're in a pad and you just turn up the heat or, you know, close the hatch. Exactly. It's like fucking shit.
Yeah.
So you did a 26-hour hell ride. I remember there were some tours in the old days. We'd start them in Dallas and shit. So it'd be 30 hours to
first fucking thing.
And but nowadays, well, this one I'm going to do in September, the first gig is Seattle, so that's 1,150 fucking miles.
Man, yeah.
But I got to get up there and get out of that part, because a Stooges gig, I got to wait till end of September.
Yeah.
See, I don't really like going out after Halloween.
That's Sam's birthday.
Is it?
Halloween, yeah.
It's my favorite holiday. It's the one day all year we don't pretend not to wear costumes. It's the truth day. So you're gonna spend a month out here in California. Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Where you be? You're gonna record too?
No, we're gonna try to do residencies instead of touring. We're gonna try to just
like play every Monday here. I know about bands used to do it here.
Out, you know? Just kind of go to a city and try and camp out, like hang out there for a month, play as many shows as we can.
Yeah.
Instead of spending $4 a gallon of gas and going.
There's a lot of, you know, so SoCal's like 150 towns, really.
Totally.
So you can actually play a lot of different pads without soaking up the one thing.
Yeah, totally.
You know, there's the Val, there's Inland, there's OC, there's where we are, South Bay, and there's this thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Where all the important people live. They're so far from the water, though.
Yeah.
You know, to live in California, you know, it's a little ball, but it's okay. Can't all live in Pedro.
Yeah.
What's so after you do this month, what's the plan?
We're gonna go back home and rehearse and try and we're gonna try and do CMJ in October.
Actors rehearse.
Well,
you guys practice.
Yeah. Well, fuck.
No, it's all right. Just some acting.
We don't even have vocal mics in the house. We just fucking play.
Just holler over the shit. Yeah.
So,
I'm at the Oscars latrine at the old fort down in Pedro. I've had 26 years. It's about this size. A little more skinny.
Yeah.
So you're going to go home and prac for what? Another album?
We're going to try and do CMJ. Yeah, write some new songs.
Go to New York?
Yeah.
I want to do the same thing festival in New York. Maybe just like go and saturate it.
Right.
As we can in one town.
Brooklyn, Hoboken, Manhattan.
Yeah. Even go to like Philly.
Also,
more places around.
Yeah, right. That New England, there's a lot plus. Yeah. Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Mass.
Yeah.
Albany.
Sure, yeah.
Fucking, we used to dream about that. Man, them bands must have it made. But then half the year they get snow and ice.
Yeah.
And then a sweaty ass summer and some music.
That's how Omaha is. It's fucking hot and humid. And then
this is what people don't understand. They think it's a southern thing. I say anything east of the Rockies.
Yeah.
Minneapolis is sweaty.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Montreal.
Yeah.
That freezing ass town in the summer, man, it's like, we're spoilt.
Yeah. Yeah, man, we were watching the weather the other day, and we were like,
yeah, why do you
need the weather? Making fun of the weather guy, like,
gonna get a little
rainbows tomorrow, and, you know, like,
Jesus. It gets Bryston. Yeah. I remember Virginia when I was a boy, you know, cardinals, honeysuckle, fireflies, crab apple. And then, you know, and I go back through there for tours, and then it's, yeah, the sweaty summers, the freezing winter, and it's like, Pedro, my papa's a sailor, and it was closer to Vietnam.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was only 10.
Hanging out here.
I never met.
Yeah,
44 years now. But even when I tore, the bungee cord just... so long, right back into Pedro. So you're going to go back east and try to get that in the fall.
Yeah.
Before the heavy weather.
Yeah, right. Yeah, get back.
Actually, you know what? Every place does have a little bit of Cali weather. It's right between spring and fall. I mean, summer and fall and spring and winter.
Yeah, exactly.
There's these little windows 60s. As it's turning over. Mm. And it's great, man. Yeah, you could be in Orlando, Florida, and there's like no sweaty.
Yeah.
It's like fucking, it's about 1 week and a half. But yeah, if you time the tour right,
there.
You're there, you know. Gators, you know.
Yeah, I see you, gators.
You know, but for that one day,
yeah,
it's fucking happening, you know, and that's how I try to time my tour.
Yeah, why not?
This one was the 65th one I just did, where they're over a month.
Damn.
And, it's a trippy way of living.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sailor. It's kind of like my pop's life in a way.
Yeah.
And you just kind of think of that. A lot of cats burn out on it.
Yeah, true.
You know, I've seen it. You know, it's, it takes a certain kind of person to stay in it a long time. And we were talking about, really, it ain't selling musical media so much. Uh-huh. It's about playing for people again.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think you gotta kind of have a little bit tour, a little bit sailor mode if you want to stay in this racket a little bit. I wish you guys all the luck, man. What about after this fall thing back east?
Maybe.
Do you plan beyond that?
Not really. No.
Maybe we can
start. That's all right.
You don't have to. Playing shows. I don't know. Getting drunk.
Into that. The brown is going down. It's hurting. Love it. Not while I'm driving, though.
No, sure.
You're the wheel man. You gotta wait.
Yeah,
you gotta wait. But that means a hanger gets twice as fucking fierce.
Yeah.
So I'm into it. I want to thank you guys for being aboard. We're gonna play some more music.
Sweet.
And,
totally.
Really,
yeah, thank you.
Number D Boone's Pot, man, you got the spirit. The way you're talking makes me feel a lot like 30 years ago when we were getting in the boat.
That's good to hear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So it's not just a museum thing. It's actually a thing that gets handed down.
Yeah.
Much respect. Watch for Pedro. I'm back. Those cats left. The Cap Gun Coup band from Omaha, Nebraska. I love the spirit, man. I love... there's just something about that thing, man. For me, the punk thing really ain't about a style of music. To me, that's up to every band, everybody putting together their group of cats. What unites me with them, and the way I see it as a movement, is this kind of spirit, this kind of thing where you want to get something happening, and it's you don't choose where you came from. But you can choose, maybe, or point yourself in a direction to where you're going. And so that's where I feel like the, what do you call it, a kindred spirit kind of thing. Even though, yeah, a couple of moons that separate us. And these cats here are 30 years younger than me. But in a way, like I told them, it felt like me, D. Boone, Georgie, you know, getting in the fucking boat and shoving off and to see Nebraska for ourselves, you know? So I wish them all the luck. We're at the end of the first hour of the June 14th, 2012 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show. I'm going to talk to other people here. I saw Chuck Dukowski, so I think I'm going to grab him. But hold tight for hour two. June 14, 2012, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
You know, jazz doesn't have to swing, and rock doesn't have to rock, and religion has next to nothing to do with God. Who, what, which is at most just one of the goddamn props through which we have so-called religious experiences. The beer I mop with a snot rag because my leather jacket is in jeopardy, slung over a chair in the East Auxiliary Press Box of the L.A. Sports Arena during round 8 or 9 of Alfredo Escalera, Sergio Medina, 129-83, is cause. He's thinking, I mop it because I am a bourgeois simp, and worse. Thank you.
Pedro show. Started the second hour off with props from Spielgusher. After that, Dose. Song for Poe off Dosey Dose. Spielgusher debut album. Both org music things with my Clarence Ranch. Then Power Failure by Minute Flag. That was Black Flag and Minutemen playing together. Some downtime during Loose Nut In My Head record. And they pretty right, the Hand to Man band. Where's John Dietrich from? He's from Wisconsin. I think he's living in Albuquerque now. Follow him, I think he just lives on the road in Northern California. Tim lives in Louisville. And then Right Action by Big Sur and Juan. I had a crash. Sometimes these motherfuckers crash. So I wanted you to tell your story again about from.
Oh yeah, you lost the
Toledo.
Okay, yeah. So grew up.
You started as a young man, and you started playing in bands.
Started playing in bands, basement bands, garage bands.
Listen too much Sam Cooke.
Too much Sam Cooke. I mean, there's no such thing really. But we were doing all kinds of stuff, ska stuff, you know, punk stuff, garage stuff, all of it.
Ended up being the Statements.
Yeah.
And then you were booking shows. About this. You knew about Frankie's, where I used to play, and you know about this new place I'm gonna put.
Mickey Finn's. Yeah, it's a pretty old bar, but they do a lot of cool shows. Great sound there.
And you know the boss who's putting on the gig?
Yeah, Brock Curry. He's a good friend of mine. Just moved promotion companies.
See, this is a lot like the old days.
Yeah.
Even though the scene got bigger and stuff, it's still about people, connects. And then you made the big move to Chicago, went to school, did some internship and distribution, and then
New York for a little
bit. Then came out through Jeff Bauer, who's with the Org Music, a little bit of Warner Brothers here in Burbank, and now you're Org full time.
Yes.
Right. And actually, Andrew's been my liaison or something to help. I try to help him actually more. And to get things going. And he asked me about this. I had a gig for Bloomsday, which is Saturday, and of course, I booked months ahead. It's also Pettibone's birthday, but when you asked me, I wanted to be part of it because I like what you got going. I like, I just like the whole thing.
I appreciate you being here.
I just wanted to be part of it.
Yeah.
And even to open it up, you know? No problem.
We're all psyched to have you here.
No problem. And now one of the bands playing, we already talked to the cats from Omaha, Cap Gun Crew. Now this is Red Yellow Sparks.
Yellow Red Sparks. That's weird to be actually.
Okay. And you're the man? You're the main man?
Yeah.
Josh. Sit down here. Thanks so much, Andy.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is I saw the string bass. And like, you know, this is one of the reasons why lately. Oh.
This is Goldie.
No. Goldie. Back, the stick man.
Yes, I hate stuff.
And you're the owner of the email.
He is. Yeah, you're the one who sent out that. You're the only band member that sent it.
Well, it doesn't have his name. It says Yellow Red Sparks.
Oh, yeah, Goldie.
So. Yeah, this is why Leo Fender. You ever wonder why that Fender bass is called Precision?
Oh, the P bass?
Yeah.
Huh. Why?
Because
it's precise. Oh. Really? Is that really why? Oh, wow.
Because before that, basses were like hers, a big fucking violin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there's no frets.
Wow.
So you can be wrong. Actually, there was mandolin orchestras and they had fretted. They had all sizes of mandolins around the turn of the century, and they actually they do them in fourths. But Leo gets credit. What happened was they had to tour with those motherfuckers, and there were no vans yet.
Oh, wow.
There were station wagons, so they'd have to tie them things to the roofs.
That's crazy.
And he had country friends. Remember that show, Hee Haw?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Those were his buddies. He knew Cal Worthington. Cal Worthington needed music in between his car commercials.
That's awesome.
And so Leo was in Orange County here, and they're from the Air Force or Army or something like that, after the Second War. So they. Yeah, I'll just steroid up my guitar and we'll make an electric bass.
Wow.
But they had mutes in them and shit, so they tried to sound like that.
That's
cool.
That's
where they came in.
I've always loved that.
Coltrane toured in fucking station wagons. Yeah, the vans didn't come until the early 60s. And there's a copy of them German Volkswagen thing.
Oh, yeah, the bus?
Transporter, yeah.
Or the bus.
And they were small. They were on the Falcon chassis and the Chevy 2s, they weren't like the boats we got now. You see mine out front?
Yeah.
6.8 meters, V10 trike. What the fuck, I've never been to the floor, that thing's so powerful. Next year's the last year.
Really?
The vans are over. They're all going to that Sprinter style.
Oh.
So August 2013, I heard the last one's going to roll off. Stopped calling me Carline a few years ago.
So they're changing their entire thing to
that. They're all going to that Euro, which is good urban. You know, a lot of room, they're tall, but not on highways.
Yeah.
Not for parking.
I just like, I mean, like the Econo lines, the gas line is just so terrible.
That's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
Mine gets about 15, 16.
Oh, that's
but I'm really light on them. You get those 350s, they're over designed. 100,000 miles, they didn't bend the brakes.
Oh, wow.
Bonus. I've had 250s, 150, you burn right through them.
So you think 350 is always the way to go?
Because they're over-designed.
That's what.
When you're on the margins, you wear things out faster. The brakes, the tranny, the motor.
Yeah. That's what. Because we were thinking about getting a Swarm because we were a three-piece. And then George from Flogging Molly said definitely get the 350s.
Never skip.
Yeah.
Never skip on rubber and brakes either.
Yeah, for sure. Especially
Michelin's, I get at least 80,000.
Really?
It'll happen. Wow. They're the time. Anyway, you're back. Your trio, Troika.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What town?
I'm living in LA.
What town you from? The band.
Town?
Is it here?
Irvine, Orange County.
OC.
Yeah.
Wow, I played the school a lot.
Yeah.
There was some clubs down there, not a lot though.
Maybe
Huntington.
Club Mesa.
Club Mesa? That's right. That's close to me.
Yeah.
That's Diesel now or something.
Detroit,
that's it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's around the corner where the Cuckoo Nest used to be.
Yeah.
So you guys are SoCal.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we're still, I grew up, we all grew up there, yeah. I live in L.A. now. She's living in L.A.
It's Elrod.
Yeah, I'm used to it now. Elrod. I just sleep.
See, I never had the prejudice, you know, yeah, there was weird stuff out there, but I always wanted to play there, because them cats had to make hell rides to get to gigs.
Yeah.
But it was hard for pads to stay open now.
It is. It's still
really
is.
Hard.
It's still
and nobody picks where they're born, you know. It's just so stupid.
Yeah.
I know I played next to Disneyland at a rockabilly club. I played, you know, at a stock club by the beach. And
yeah.
I mean, they've had them all. You name it, man. A lot of it's strip mall action.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'm in the gig.
Yeah.
Pedro, we're playing a ballet school. It's not just an OC thing. It's kind of
being
outside
yeah.
of a thing.
Yeah,
yeah. You know? Yeah. There's either the biker bar or the ballet school in my town.
Really?
Wow. Or the sports
bar. I'd go with the ballet. Yeah. I mean, I would.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Sounds like a cool game. Yeah.
Different kinds of pickup lines. They don't say nice tooth. Nice toes.
Nice bunch of toes.
Anyway, so how'd you get the band together? Who's which one started it?
Well, I'm just a songwriter, and then
need somebody to play your songs.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think much of it. I was just writing songs, and then started playing little coffee shops here and there. And then,
acoustic?
Yeah, just me by myself, and then just kind of grew into something else.
There was an OC club down there that was a house. Who's?
Coos, yeah,
right.
That was in Long Beach.
Now it's in Long Beach.
It was.
Right.
I don't know if it's still there. I don't think it's there anymore, but the owner, I think his name's Dennis.
But for a while, it was a Chinese restaurant, former house that was a restaurant that was a gig.
Coos,
I played there with Nels Klein. I played with the Black Thing there a couple times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was
those people were very cool who ran.
Yeah, Coos is awesome.
And they were up against so much struggle, and they kept it going as long as they could.
Total underground place that people loved, yeah.
The Irvine, by the way, they used the Anteater radio station. Really good.
Oh, yeah.
KUCI.
They put it on the same fucking frequency as KXLU.
Oh, really? Oh, wow, I didn't know.
So it's the distance that you've got to get far to government distance.
Yeah,
we did a couple interviews there.
Yeah, I love KUCI.
Many times Dose played on there. There's still cats. One of the guys there, he went on, and his name is Sam.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's called Acrobatics. He's got production coming. He got me to play a jam deck there.
Oh, wow.
You know the secret?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to hang out with him. He talked to me for like 3 hours.
Wow.
The representative from Forward Industry. Very cool people. And finally he said, well, what are we going to do? So it was like this 100-minute song where he just went for it. Had the young guy from Help on drums who was shitting a pecan log. I said, I've done this before, you know, just don't drop the beat.
That's what I'm told. That's what I've been told. Hey, my teacher said, don't stop playing.
Those kind of situations, right? You just kind of morph. And it was a trip. So I don't have a really... I mean, yeah, there's the orange curtain, but I've never had that snob thing because I knew about me and Pedro. I mean, we're more working tough. But people had all these fucking opinions about us without ever being in our town.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's just like media and stuff like that. Just stereotypical stuff that you find anywhere. Yeah. But
there are some
pockets.
Streets you go down that are like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, what's the one I had to bring my mom to a job? And it was one of these ones that start from the freeway that goes to the water and strip mall sometimes.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Maybe Beach Boulevard or something. But you know what I'm talking about. And they've done it to parts of Pedro, too. And, of course, Torrance has that whole Hopham Boulevard, Delamo. That actually was the first mega mall, so you can't blame OC for that.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, these things with strip mall, and you're wondering, what do the kids do?
Yeah.
Do they really hang out in a mall? But back to your music journey, you needed somebody to play your songs with you.
Yeah, I mean, I never. He actually took my demo that I had that was just me, and he added drums to it. I didn't know him very well, and he's
coming to the gigs?
Yeah, I don't know how he heard about it. You can say it. I mean, Golden.
Well, I mean, pretty much what happened was I remember some people talking about this guy's songs. So one day when MySpace, remember MySpace? I went to MySpace, I listened to the
Rupert
music.
Murdoch dropped about $600 million of it.
Oh, yeah.
So I listened to the music, fell in love with it, went to a couple shows, and I paid a buddy to record my
drums. You actually found him through My Ways to Space.
We had played in different bands all through the years.
What, Shade Picture, Shade Bills?
Maybe once, but it was kind of like more of a deal where I was playing drums in the band that I wanted to play with him anymore. Not with him.
You were in a parallel universe.
Different kinds of music and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm not, and I'm not a creep. Okay, I'm not a creep, right? So
I didn't. I never thought.
I'm
like
a drummer.
Dude.
What do you expect?
Well, every
drum is the heart. The drum is the. I have so much respect. You'll see us play tonight. I put my drummer at the front of the stage.
That's it. That's
I, you know,
that's awesome.
Of course, I'm the bass guy. That's was the retarded dude you put in right field, right? Little League, right? So I had a lot of heart for
wow.
Us rhythm section guy. No, no. With punk came, it made things a lot more equal. But in the old days, there was definitely hierarchy.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And there was certain kinds of stereotypes. Yeah, we were supposed to be the stupid motherfucker. So I'm trying to live up to that. But I don't think you're creepy. No.
Well, thank you.
You were just gravitating towards
like
the song.
Towards something spoke to me about
yeah.
it. I paid a buddy of mine to go to a rehearsal studio. I recorded drums over it. The best. I worked on it for a while. I recorded drums over it. Tried to get a hold of this guy for 3 months.
Oh, you mean like your little...
Like my little demo?
Acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Singing. He wanted
he
to add a
drum.
Bitch.
Finally, we ran into each other. He saw me. He ducked past and...
Right.
No, no, no.
So he had to keep that vibe.
No, no.
No,
no. He's just weird anyways. But,
you know,
but,
songwriters are introverted.
So anyways, we ended up we ended up going out, listening to the music. I said,
he said, come to my car. I want you to listen to this. He forced me to listen to it with him there.
Which is his music with your drum.
When I see something that I want, I go for it.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Right.
So I have to stand by it.
Some people, what are hands for? They're for strangling. They're just grabbing the motherfucker. Choke up on the back.
So we went out to the car.
At least baseball references.
A little bit.
I was a catcher.
Really?
Yeah, I was a catcher. Now I'm a drummer.
That was tough. I did it one season or something. I grew up in Maisie Housen and I had to do I caught more bats than balls. Yeah, kids, little kids let go of the bat. I caught so many
like
the chest and the throat. It was weird. Also, dudes farting in your face. We're talking kids, right? Anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of respect for the catcher, especially as you got older, because they had to back up first base. You had to run down there and back the
ball. And that was slow, so I had to run down there. I like my ice cream and chicken McNuggets.
How'd you get into drums?
Well, I just always wanted to play. I played on my steering wheel for years. I begged my parents when I was younger to play.
Yeah.
It wasn't until they said if I didn't pick piano, then I couldn't play drums. Didn't want to take piano. But anyways, I bought a drum set when I was 17,
when
got a
could,
job, bought a drum
your
set,
own,
played
yeah.
6 hours a day, and just worked my ass off, you know.
And how'd you get into guitar and singing?
My dad sings, my mom sings. My
you have music
guitar,
in your family?
Yeah. Like my brother is a touring musician for a singer-songwriter girl. And
right.
So, it was just...
Side mouse.
Yeah. So, like...
That's a talent in itself, believe me.
Like, I think music's a gift, you know. I really do. And
what
I
about bass?
Well,
how did I get into bass?
Bass, yeah.
I played in orchestra in middle school.
School.
I was playing violin, and one day.
Like eighth grade, ninth grade.
Seventh grade.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and then one day my teacher.
Where they have an elective and you want to take music?
Yeah.
That happened
and
to
she
me.
Said that,
why did you take a clarinet? 10 weeks. Mr. Luna, his name was Luna.
Yeah.
He said, you try hard, but you ain't got it. He goes, I want you to stop wasting your time, my time, and our time. Yeah, it's the whole class, you know, I'm like 13. So I never took another music class.
You're holding
class
a clarinet like this.
So I didn't know yet, you know, and I did do boom maybe a year later. His mom put me on bass, but I was destroyed by that experience. But school, it fortified your experience.
Yeah, they needed a bass player. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, no one plays it big.
Yeah.
So,
in the old days, only people from school played the bass.
Oh, yeah.
It was all guitar players. Couldn't get everyone was playing guitar. We're talking the early 70s.
Yeah.
They're all playing guitar. So if you wanted a gig, play a little bass, because no one else wants to rock the bass.
I think that's still true.
Well, I'm big Flea, though, and Les.
Yeah.
They kind of changed stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
like
good
I was
point.
Talking to Jonathan. He said he never did guitar. He went straight for bass. Ain't that a trip?
A good bass player is very hard to find these days. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a great bass
well,
player.
Well, also someone
like,
who
you know,
truly
I mean,
loves it, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know what I mean? Has a passion for it. I think.
Instead of just working it for
a
gig.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So you did it for the school?
Mm-hmm.
And then how'd you meet these guys? Because it seems like they two were together first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they were doing that for like a couple, few years long before I started taking drum lessons from Goldie. And then,
so you're a drummer too?
She's a good drummer.
You play drums, you can probably play anything because it's all about rhythm. This is why there's so much bullage on the drummer, because he has the power. Everybody else is doing little licks. We're not like millions of melodic things. They're little patterns. We're doing it too.
Yeah.
It's so much denial in this racket. So you start playing drums, so that's a connect.
Yeah.
So when you guys, you relent and say, yes, I will play with you.
It's just like, you know, like when you're writing acoustic style songs, like you don't fix your drums right away immediately because it's just very intimate and stuff. But he's such a great player that he knows where to.
Can you do brushes?
He does.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't even know that existed. Like I didn't know.
You didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Maracas.
Not yet.
No. So you guys get going, and then you bring the bass in.
Yeah. So Sarah, I mean, we.
That's a little.
Yeah,
she played guitar and piano for us too.
Yeah, she plays.
Oh, so you play those too?
Yeah. A little bit.
She plays well. She's pretty modest.
Well, piano, right, girls.
Yeah.
When they're young, right?
That's what I started.
And a lot of people end up hating it, never want to play it again because I found this a lot. They had a terrible experience with the piano teachers.
Yeah.
They're all belligerent, or they're reading books, they don't care and shit.
Yeah.
And so when they get old enough, fuck this shit, and they never go back to it.
Yeah.
It's almost better to learn this stuff. You're thinking, man, you learned this as a kid, it's going to be great. But actually, it's such negative experiences, they never want to do it again.
That's very true. Very true.
So, okay. So you know all these things. God, I'm a thug.
That's the one I started with.
I'm a thug.
So, yeah, I mean, she...
So then you had to, like, settle for bass or what?
No.
Or you went back to it because you started in school, 7th grade, and in the band, they don't want you on piano anymore or guitar.
I
kind
of screwed things up.
So, you got it. So coming on a bass and be a power trio.
Yeah, I mean, we tried on a bunch of different things, and that was the one that made sense the most. I don't know, it just felt like she felt comfortable there.
Yeah.
And everything else she was very good at, but it didn't feel like that was her.
Right. Now, the first tunes, they're your batch, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there was no band yet.
Yeah, I mean...
You guys moved beyond the first batch, right?
But no, we still haven't put out our first full length.
No, but as far as writing songs...
Yeah.
Well, what they gave me was a little thing with only like 4 or 5 songs.
Yeah, yeah. I'll send you a little record. I got your email now. So
what's this thing called?
This is called the Four Steps and Corsets EP.
It's an EP?
Yeah, it's our first EP. Our first official EP.
Okay. And then there's an album on top of that, so you recorded two things?
Yeah, we'll see. So like we took 3 songs from the record and put it on the EP just to kind of get
songs going. From the album are on this.
Yeah, 3 songs from that, and then the record has 11.
So this has a special one.
Yeah, it has a special extra one where it's just me. Yeah.
Oh really?
It's even just more special. Yeah.
Wow. So who wears the corset?
Well, she should. I mean, yeah, he does.
It depends on what day of the week.
It's all the ice.
Herman Gary. Herman Gary. No. I should wear it, really, middle aged. That kind.
Well, actually, it's not very.
So what was. You guys did record. The album hasn't come out.
It's done, yeah.
But what was that like? What did you do?
It's a long story, but we tracked most of it in Burbank, and then we had Mad Dog Studios, and,
the Mad Dog used to be in Venice.
Was it Dusty?
Yeah.
We used to be in Venice on Lincoln.
Yeah.
I did my Find the Flannel album there in 91.
Did you? That's
awesome. My pop died during it. It was cancer.
Oh, jeez.
He was in nuclear engine rooms and ate him in 9 months.
Oh, wow.
But I remember, it was the Gulf War. It was 91. Dusty, this was on Lincoln Boulevard, but he moved it.
Yeah.
To Burbank. South
Lake, Sedega,
such a good cat.
He was telling us about like Roy Orbison and like
he's
all these crazy
with all
stories.
Kinds of cats. I think he had at that time he had a mead board. They mixed the Bad Company.
He's still there.
Dude, he has
the Bad Company album.
He has the what reverb?
The plate
reverb. Too.
Yeah, that plate, that huge.
Yeah, they're just big plates.
There's like the something or some Hitler reference as well.
Yeah, he told us that Hitler used to use those in his speech. Talk. I don't think the ones that he owned.
No, but the same kind of device. Yeah. Actually, the mics, those Neumanns and stuff, that's from those days.
Yeah.
So
that's very attractive.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you can use a knife to cut your steak.
Yeah.
And you don't have to cut people, but you know, some people are assholes. God, I was just reading this. Somebody gave me a 600-page book on Stalin, man. You want to... What a fucking nice
sure,
that easy motherfucker. No, all these people. All backstabbing motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bad story. And when I was a teenager, I read the Spear one, the Decline, or Rise and Fall, whatever, and it's the same kind of shit. Anyway, getting back to Dusty. So we share that link.
Yeah.
What a
That's
trip.
Awesome.
And that was 21 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, he I don't know. We met him...
Times.
There's a lot of stuff in Burbank. That's where Kay does her sound, the bass lady in Dos.
Oh, okay.
God. There's a lot of... in fact, that's kind of where almost only studios are that aren't in people's houses anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. I made my first opera a place in Burbank called Front Page. It's gone.
Yeah, Mad Dog's
gone. Next door,
but,
yeah, right.
He sold the Neve, I think, is what happened.
And it's probably in some dude's house.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
Yeah.
But as long as music's getting made with it. But it was a good experience.
Yeah, it
was. Fuck, if you were Dusty, it must have been bitching. And so, what's the plan now? How'd you meet up with the Ord Cats? Well, they're in Burbank.
Yeah, we met them through...
Jeff?
Well, I met Jeff and then also through Michelle, who works with us.
Yeah.
She works at Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And that's the connection there. And we talked with a couple different labels and just Ord... I don't know, man. Something about them just... The vinyl part of it, the people,
yeah.
There's the people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we just signed a couple months ago with them, so it's all new to us.
So what's the plan now? You going to go on a tour?
Oh, gosh, I hope so, yeah. That's our...
Because
you've
never toured, right?
No, yeah, that's right.
And we're with ABA.
Yeah.
We just got a booking agency.
Wow.
So we're excited. Like, I hope, you know, we just want to just jump off the cliff and see what happens.
I've had the same agent guy 24 years, 25 years.
Who is it?
Steve Call.
That's awesome.
Agency in New York.
I think.
But this guy coming out of college.
Yeah.
One thing you got, it is about people. So
it
watch
totally
out
is.
About the burning bridge and the stepping stone thing.
Totally.
There's an old saying, you know?
Yeah.
Kissing ass on the way up, sucking dick on the way down.
Totally. Man, I mean.
But I would rather look at it like there's hills and valleys. You
yeah.
know, I mean, like when you're touring, you look out the window. That other thing is a little brutal.
Definitely sends a picture.
What did they say today in the paper? It said, "Oh, Jer's not a perfect guy, but he needs a friend." No.
Yeah, it really is about.
But watch out about that.
Yeah,
so the
no,
advice I would give.
You.
But what would be the advice that you would give young people getting into this racket?
I think to be true to what you believe in, and don't look at what anyone else is doing, and just
the inner voice.
Yeah, just listen to your inner voice and try and shut everything else out.
Try to find it.
Try to find it. Yeah.
Because there is a lot of merch.
Yeah,
you
and
go. What's your advice?
Yeah.
I agree with that completely. I think going in, the most important thing for any young band or people is to have the patience and not expect everything to happen right away.
Totally.
Do it because
yeah.
if you don't love what you're doing. The odds are you're doing the wrong thing, you know, and you're not going to last because it's grueling and it's hard, but it's all worth it if you love what you do. That's what I agree.
Totally.
Sarah?
Well, I'm still learning, but I would say if you have a passion for music.
Look, man, that's my flaw. Middle age, if it's taught me one thing, is keep learning. Stay
yeah.
a student. Everybody's got something to teach you.
Totally.
Some cats start now.
Yeah.
That would be my advice. But I always ask people that on my show because one reason I like a lot of different people talking about their journey is because they're all different.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you watch the VH1 or something, you think there's one way. You find the right manager or something.
Totally. Yeah.
But it's not. Everybody came a different path. That's why I asked you when you were young, how'd you get into even your instrument?
Yeah.
Because we all got different paths. And they're all valid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey guys, I
got
a box for a while, so
all right. Okay, thanks for coming aboard. We're going to play some of your music now.
Thank you. there's a chance we could fall under the highlight of winter. And there's a parked car that won't let me over. And there's one thing I'll regret, but you'd be the last. Oh.
But it's like, you know, there's like...
Well, I don't know the exact mechanism.
Like the pebble in the pond, you know what I mean?
Consequences.
You send waves out.
Yeah. Could have been from another life.
And they bounce forever. You know? And so you want to have as positive an impact as you can.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Kind of my gig with it all.
You just heard Lullaby by the Chuck Dukowski Sextet. Ahead of that was Cap Gun Coup with My Boredom Is Bored. Yellow Red Sparks in front of that with Monsters with Misdemeanors. Dot Hacker ahead of that with Discotheque. We start all off with Hollowed Out Man, one of the parts of my hyphenated opera that I'm going to play in about 13 minutes. But, God, we're at the end of the second hour of the June 14th, 2012 edition of Waffle Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three because I got Mr. Chuck Dukowski here.
That's right. Hello.
I go furthest back with this man.
June 14th, 2012. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. And here's an interview I did at the club, satellite here, with Mr. Chuck Dukowski.
I don't know the story exactly how. I know about Chuck had a band before Flag called Worm. I don't know exactly how you got from not playing to Worm.
From Worm?
No, not playing as a boy. To Worm.
Well, I got kicked out of high school.
Yeah.
You know, and when I got kicked out of high school, it was like I turned a corner. I go, okay, I'm going to play bass.
Now, why
and
bass?
I practiced every day.
Now, why bass? And not guitar? Not.
I felt bass.
Okay.
A buddy of mine had a bass.
You know, I'm kind of biased this way, so I'm interested
in it. I played
in
his bass, and I was feeling the bass.
Oh, you had a buddy with a bass.
Yeah. He was a guitar player, but he had a bass.
Too.
And I loved his bass. It was a nicer bass than any bass pretty much I had for many, many years.
Yeah.
I picked that thing up, and I loved it. And so I'd go over to his house and play his bass all the time.
Oh.
So then I
before you even had one.
Right. Yeah. Then I bought a bass and went to Montgomery Ward, and I ordered it for $50.
Yeah.
And I bought that bass, and I played that bass every day. And like I'd sit there and watch all the kids going to school in the morning because I was up on the booth.
Right.
Scissors. And I like watch them, and I sit there, and I plug into my dad's stereo because he had these two big.
No amp, you're using a stereo.
Yeah, two JBL D130s, 15s.
Oh, wow.
He has a nice, you know, reflex cabinet. It sounded good.
Yeah.
And I'd play through that thing, and every morning I'd be there rocking it. You know, the kids going by looking at what's going on in there.
Now, what are you doing? Are you just jamming, or are you playing to records?
No, I'm just jamming. Because I couldn't play the records because I was using.
Because you're using the stereo.
I think that was actually big for me. That
I think it was too.
I never.
Because you didn't have to copy.
I never got into.
Because you know you're in my era, and that's all people did. That's all we did. In fact, I couldn't hear bass. Now D Boone's mom made me play bass. I didn't know what the fuck it was. Those arena rock shows were so far away. I knew it had in the pictures. I could tell it was only four strings, but I didn't know they were bigger.
They're more badass because they're bigger.
Bigger, but I didn't know that until I got a close on one. You know, I thought they were guitars with skinnier necks. That's how stupid I was. So you know, when I meet D Boone, all he knows is rock and roll is Creedence. So I'm listening to this. I couldn't hear what the bass player's doing in that music. So I thought. I wear the flannels. Maybe if I wear John Fogerty's shirts, D. Boone will like me. I could not hear the bass. I can hear it nowadays. But in those days, I had no sensitivity. They were muddy, kind of murky. I mean, the England guys like The Who and Jack Bruce and The Cream, you could hear that bass. Yeah. And our black guys like Jay Merson and Larry Graham, R&B, you could hear the bass. But our rock guys were kind of blurry sounding, man. It was hard for me.
Well, you could hear Jack Cassidy.
Bless his pointed hand.
Right, that's some.
There's some bass there.
You
know what? I heard that. I heard that a little later.
For the almonds, you know.
Now we ran out of time there. Had to go on stage, so we had to end the interview. And that was only about 3 minutes. Chuck has a big ass story to tell, so. Couple days later, via Skype, him and his pad, me and my Pedro pad, we finished up the interview. So here's the rest of it here. Yeah, start recording this. Where we left off was, you're playing through your pop stereo, and you ain't jamming to records because you can't because the stereo is being used for bass and not records.
Right, yeah. I just jammed out, and then I hooked up with a drummer and a guitar player and started going down that road.
Yeah, well, how did that happen?
Just I ran into this kid who said he was a drummer. I've been playing for a few weeks. Okay. And, you know, he said he's a guitar player, and he came over with this giant drum set and set it up in the living room, and we jammed out.
You guys were jamming in the living room. How did you meet him? I mean, at school?
No,
because you had left school, right? Yeah, so.
Yeah, he was a distant friend of another friend, you know, and we were hanging out. He just was there, and someone said, I forget his name, but he so-and-so plays drums. He had curly hair. He had Mitch Mitchell hair.
Okay. That's a definite plus in my book.
Word.
Okay, so.
He brought a Pedro guy who played drums, because I think that guy was from Torrance. I'm not drunk. He brought a Pedro guy who played guitar. He had a little Fender Mustang.
Oh, I remember them. Yeah, a little Stang. Okay.
Yeah, he was a ripper.
But he's the friend of him. He's
right,
more dislocated from you. Yeah.
Further down the line.
Right. Who is it? Kevin Bacon or some? The 60
Days? No, it wasn't Kevin Bacon.
But there's some.
I remember I ran into him at the Crimson show at the Long Beach Arena. No, after but many years, you know, and there he was. I go, and I still remembered his name then.
No, somebody told me that if you go like six layers into any kind of relationship, somebody's related to Kevin Bacon.
Right. Well, that's like they say the same type of thing about the genetics, that everybody's related to Charlemagne.
Well, I heard it was one out of 26 actually has Genghis Khan's DNA.
Well, there you go, and I kind of got busy.
A lot of seed toss.
Yeah, on the other hand, you know, he's out there, you know, coming back again, wiping them out. Yeah, right.
But you know what? I read somewhere he was actually the inventor of diplomatic immunity.
Who's that, Genghis?
Yeah.
Could be. You know, I don't know. It seems like those guys had a bad habit of, you know, one of the things that they would do would be murder the emissary. You know, like the
right.
person would send a dude up and go, okay, let's discuss terms about my village here. You know, my village, we got a wall. You guys don't want to lose your dudes. I don't want to lose my dudes. Maybe if we don't fight everything, kill, muerte, burn, pillage.
But maybe Genghis turned that around a little bit.
Like you mean for his own dudes?
Yeah, but you don't kill the emissary. It abstracted the conflict to another level, maybe. I also heard that
those dudes, they were like, they were pretty, brutal. That's the world of dudes who didn't want to bother planting the crop.
Yeah, they're horse riders, right?
Right, they're horse riders. And
I don't think they even built towns.
Bow and arrow and a horse, you know. Apparently the Comanche started going on the same program once they got horses out here.
Yeah, somebody told me that even the old Greek ideas of the centaur is based on these Eastern people. They thought they never got off their horses.
Could be. You know, apparently they didn't do much off their horses. That was one of the things that was a real challenge for people who... had to fight them.
Yeah, Chuck, do you remember a long time ago, do you remember reading B.F. Skinner? I remember you talking to me about B.F. Skinner.
Yeah, I read B.F. Skinner.
Yeah, so you've always been a man of ideas.
Sure.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
I read all that stuff, you know. I mean, my training in psychology, so I had to read B.F. Skinner.
And is this later or is this during the time where you're jamming in the living room?
Oh, Skinner I read later.
Okay, it's later stuff. Okay.
You know, I mean, I was in high school when I read when I was jamming in the living room, or actually out of high school. But
No, but Chuck, I'm curious. What were you reading in this period, in this high school period?
Oh, you know, I don't know, like sci-fi and...
Oh, me too.
I was big on...
See, you know what?
I was big on Vonnegut, and
you know what, Chuck?
People don't know... who just passed away.
Ray Bradbury.
Mr.
Ray Bradbury.
And I like anything like that. I love...
Chuck, I talk to younger people, and they don't understand this thing about the space race. Like me and you, we belong to the generation of the space race, and we were interested in science fiction.
Well, my dad, he built those things.
Is that true? Oh, wow, I didn't know.
He designed the guidance systems for the Nutes and for the Lunar Lander and for all that shit.
So...
You know, the reason they could hit something was he did the, you know, the math to make it and worked out the technical stuff to make it possible.
Damn. So you're kind of from, he's an engineer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you're from, oh, God, I never knew, Chuck.
He's a ground floor dude on that, you know. He grew up on the first wave of sci-fi.
Right. But our generation, it's hard to explain to people. If you grew up in, you know, grade school in the 60s, you were taught about the space race.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Then they
play with it, you know. We'd have the little resistors and all the crap he would bring home from work and, you know, pretend to make shit.
Make shit happen.
Right. Well, we made rockets. My buddies and I, we made rockets and bombs and shit.
Oh, wow.
We blew them up in that tunnel.
Oh, really? Hitler?
Yeah.
For the radio people, Hitler was a tunnel that went between Navy Housing and the graveyard, and it went under Western Avenue.
Right. Yeah. And our neighborhood.
Because that's where you are. You're on the other side of Western. I was on the east side of Western.
Yeah, well, you were down all the way down there by Tech Park.
Even more north. I'm closer to Dotson.
Really? Oh, that's where I lived. So you were in that Navy housing down the street.
That's right. Do you remember that Navy housing?
Oh, yeah.
Chuck, you're one of the only dudes I've ever talked to who does know. Because all those Navy dudes, they all, you know how Navy people are, they move. I don't know any of those cats.
Well, I knew some people who lived there. And then when I was a kid, when I was really little, that shit was PT boats and landing craft and old sea mines, you know, the mines that they would tether to the bottom.
Yeah.
And it was a bunch of, like, giant stacks of those in pyramids and rows and rows and rows of PT boats and landing craft. We'd, like, go across, and they patrolled that stuff, too. You know,
they had these big
watchtowers, and they'd patrol it. But as kids, we'd sneak through the tunnel, and it was a big thrill to poke your head up there, and then you get all afraid and run back through the tunnel.
You know, there was other tunnels. Remember, because the fields, there wasn't condos and tract homes. That was Lockman's Farm.
Right, yeah, I knew the Lockman girls.
Okay, right, and it was a dairy.
Right, we used to bang shit there for like.
I slung shit there too. It was 2 cents to fill the sack and 2 cents to staple.
Right, we'd work a team, you know.
Fuck, so we shared that too, Chuck. Oh, god damn.
We play in those fields there, you know, the bulls chase.
Sure, and there was a polywog pond.
Yeah, we catch the frogs.
Mm-hmm.
Take them home.
Right. Fuck, I could tell you stories about that shit. Anyway, you guys are jamming in the living room. But you're not from the... You're not a guy who copies records, so you guys are doing actual jams.
Actual jams and like, some real simple songs. Like, I remember we did Crossroader and some stuff like that.
Okay.
I learned Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo.
Oh, White Trash. Edgar Winter, Rick Derringer. Yeah.
Right. That's like the most complicated it got.
There's
most
a lot.
Of it was like, you know, that simple one-note stuff so you could jam out.
Modal. I think Miles would call it modal.
Sure, whatever.
So, well, now how do you...
Interesting concept, you know, because it's like, you know, you can go, to me, you can go modal, and you can say you're using A as a root, but yeah, you switch to, I don't know, Dorian, and then you're playing in, what is that one, a G or a D scale? You're playing in the other key scale, but your root is still on A.
Okay, yeah, right. Actually,
it
does rock...
feel like you're dissonant, like if you're playing in a C minor scale, but you're in A, so your notes are it sounds all dissonant and what's the word? Diminished. Sounds diminished.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So where do you take it from here?
Oh, I don't know. I went off and just kept going.
With these same cats?
No, those cats went away.
They went away because...
I went off. I started jamming with my buddy from high school, the guy who had the bass, and jamming with my friend, my other guy, who used to go to Con Ed, who was the guitar player from Worm, except he wasn't a guitar player yet. He's a trumpeter. And we used to play piano and other instruments until one day I borrowed a guitar player from a guy at college and brought a guitar from a guy at college and brought it home and stuck it in his hands.
Oh.
Play guitar, man.
Okay. And this
Holy
is
shit,
at,
you're left-handed. Oh, man.
This is Ed Denke.
Yeah.
Ed Denke, he's no longer with us. Well, or on the other dimension, but that's the Worm Man.
Yeah.
So this is the connection with Worm. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to have a band. I needed a guitar player, so I made my best friend a guitar player.
Right, and you left those other two cats, like you did your tutelage.
Right, they were ahead of me. You know, they knew what they were doing.
Oh.
I was like totally in the hip fight. When I jammed with those guys, I've been playing for a month.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
What was that like? Were you afraid?
Yeah, you know, I'm not afraid, but, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I was like, okay, here I am.
Okay.
You know, just what do I do, you know?
Yeah, but how long did that go on?
Yeah, not so long, you know. We did it a few times.
You got enough confidence that you said, okay, I want my own band. I'm going to get my old buddy Ed on the guitar. How did the drumming come?
We didn't have drumming for a long time. Drumming was always a problem.
Okay.
You know, we'd do different, you know, different people and different stuff and not have drum kits and jam a while with no drummer. And anytime we could come up with someone who would do anything rhythmically, we were stoked.
And is this still in the living room of your pad?
And other living rooms. My buddy that had the bass, he had a sweet pad. He lived in a model home, you know? And the model homes had converted garages that they used for the sales offices. And that was his bedroom. That was a sweet setup.
Yeah.
And so then we would jam out there too.
Oh, okay. And this is the band that becomes Worm.
Well, you know, Ed and I became Worm. The other people, we had one friend.
Oh, you mean there's
an accomplished guitar player, and he would help us out occasionally and make it sound good.
Okay. But the drumming thing was a revolving kind of trip.
Or not, you know, like
you
a vacancy.
You mean, what you're trying to tell me is you and Ed and maybe this other guitar man would jam with no drums.
Right, for years and years.
Wow!
You know.
So in a way, you were the drummer.
Yeah. I mean, I hold the rhythm, you know, with the bass.
Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Well, I started on drums, you know, so to me, bass, that's part of bass. Anchorman. You heard the Anchorman. Bridge instrument.
Anchorman.
And it's deeper than that, as you well know. You're the bridge instrument for everything.
Oh, yeah, bridge, because we're kind of different things at the same time. Oh,
you,
yeah.
You support the, you bring the rhythm to the harmony and melody. And you hook the two together. You know, it's like, you can only, to me, I can only be as good as my drummer.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know, but you're also linked to what everybody else is doing, so you can also only be, you know, with as your guitar player, and or your, you know, whoever's playing those instruments that are in the higher ranges, and you know, it's all linked together, and then the vocals are really important to what you're doing too. It's like it's important to the rhythm and the way that if you got vocals going, you know, what I'm doing on bass is really important to link up with the vocals. I spend, you know, it's like it's natural, and also it's what sounds good. Both the rhythm of what the vocalist is doing and the harmony melody of what the vocalist is doing.
Now, are you listening to other bass players on this kind of plane with this kind of consciousness?
Even when I was a kid?
No.
I was not very conscious of anything. Okay. But, you know, my favorite bass players were Geezer and Jack Bruce.
Yeah. Respect.
And I like Noel Redding, too. People diss that guy. I think he's just really good.
Because he was a guitar player. I think people lame out on it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like Hendrix and Mish. They need someone like that. They're, you know, that's not the normal drum guitar mix either.
Yeah. So, there's this, you're still in the living room. When does it move to the church?
Oh, that's a million years later.
Oh, okay.
Like the living room is 71.
Mm-hmm.
72 there.
Yeah.
You know, that's the living room, formative years, you know, infancy.
Yeah.
You know, so then we you know, Ed and I, we go to college.
Yeah.
And all those other dudes, they go away. And so that strips it down. It's just Ed and I. And we put together Worm really in college. And by the way, we drafted a good buddy as a drummer. And borrow drum sets to hook him up, and we would jam. We put together a three-piece.
He didn't have his own drums?
I think eventually he got some drums, okay. But mostly we would just borrow other people's drums for him.
Okay.
And he'd show up and jam. You know,
right, that's what his prax was, when you could get the drums up for him.
Right. So, and he lived in San Diego. You know, so he was in San Diego. I mean, for a minute he went to college with Ed down here in L.A. And what we would do is we'd pull together in one of the three locations. We'd pull together a big session, like usually like one of the times when the school was out. Okay, so now it's Thanksgiving. You've got 4 days free. No one's around.
Right.
Boom, there we are. You know, we're like taking over a dorm, or we're taking over an apartment, and we're jamming out the whole time, and we just go crazy, and we did that, and then we got more and more involved, and we learned to put together campus organizations at our different schools, and we were able to get access to all the halls on the different campuses and use those, and so then we could do it on weekends, and we started doing it on weekends, and just any weekend, we just get together and drive down to L.A., or they drive up to Santa Barbara, we jam out, surf, jam out, hang out, jam out, you know,
yeah.
Just keep going. And we do that all the time, you know, and so then once, you know, the summer comes and you do it even more, and then it's all over, and it's time to get serious.
Okay. Do you remember writing your first tunes?
Yeah. I mean, it was like pretty much that's what we did. You know, you get together, jam, and make a tune.
Yeah. So, eventually, Worm works up this big catalog of songs.
Yeah.
What about gigs?
We didn't play any gigs, pretty much. We played some, you know, like did parties at the schools, and we played a party at the chancellor of Occidental College's house. I think it was like his birthday or something. Some crap. There were all these people all over. It was full on, and I think we were comic relief.
Okay. Some tap.
They were so used to hating us for making noise that they had us play so that they could, you know, mimic being the problem.
Okay. So, for the people listening, this is before punk.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. So what happens when the punk thing comes?
Like 76, you know, it's like the Ramones come through in 76.
Sure.
I mean, I was already listening to Stooges and the Five in that era. That's like when I became aware of that stuff. Then I come home from school for that summer, the stuff started happening here in L.A. Summer of 76.
Yeah.
And the K-Rock had, Rodney had the K-Rock Cabaret, and the Dogs were doing shows.
Starwood?
That was still cover bands.
No, I saw the Dogs at the Starwood. And New Order. Did you get to see New Order?
I didn't see New Order.
Okay.
I didn't.
That was right.
I saw the Dog a lot of times, but not at the Star. I don't think I saw them. No, I saw them at the Star. They played in the Star.
I saw them.
They did these things with, like, called Radio Free Hollywood. I guess that's a little later. That's 77 summer. 76 summer was really formative. That's like the Ramones came through for the first time. And I was living in town here and painting houses and shit and trying to get some rock going and living there in my mom's pad and thinking about cutting the school loose, but we all ended up going back for one more year and finishing it up.
Okay.
And doing it to the next summer.
Okay, so when does the church come in?
Well, the church comes in after, like, okay, so the end of the summer of when 76 ended, 76, you know, it's like that last year of school, graduated in that 76, and then winter, so then we got out of school, like I said, still 76, it's summer of 76, so I guess it was the year before that the K-Rock Cabaret had its earliest stuff.
Class of 76 at San Pedro High is me, D. Boone, and Georgie.
Yeah, after the teacher's strike, my parents took me out of San Pedro High. That was crazy, though. The teachers went on strike, you know, and we got off from Christmas vacation until Easter vacation. You didn't have to go to school. That was pretty epic and crazy. And the high school lost its accreditation. And it was kind of a meltdown over there with the public schools.
Yeah.
And my parents put me in this other school. That's where I met my friend Ed.
Because...
Anyway.
Where's Ed from? Is he Hermosa? Or?
He's from PV, right up over there by...
Oh, he's PV, too.
They fight about the surf spots above Indicator there in Cove.
Yeah, right.
He lives over there. His mom was the principal of South Shore Elementary.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's a funny connection.
That's the most west part of Pedro.
Right, yeah, the South Shores. I mean, we had a guy from South Shores in my homeroom in Pedro.
Wow. Okay. You got a little mix in other classes.
He got a speed for that.
So, oh, then tell me, what's the connection with the beach towns? Why didn't you guys go east? Why did you go north?
Well, anyway, so once I got out of school, we went through a series of living in a bunch of underground paths, you know, all sorts of weird places. Two of them were in Pedro, and one of them was in Long Beach, and then also Torrance. And after a parade of getting run out of these things, we ended up in a abandoned restaurant bathhouse in Hermosa Beach.
Bathhouse.
And yeah, it was like upstairs. There was like changing rooms and steam rooms and stuff for people to go to the beach. And then downstairs they had an umbrella rental and a like a tiki themed bar restaurant. But it was all abandoned. And so we moved in, took over this giant room in it, and turned it into a rehearsal pad. And we're living there, and we met all the black, you know, I met Keith, and he introduced us to the rest of the guys.
Oh,
and
this is how it all happened.
Yeah, you know, we're just hanging out on the they call it the Strand down there,
the Strand, right.
Hermosa.
Right.
And we had moved there, and he's like, wow, let's aim high with our new pad and see if we can get a good, you know, cool pad at the beach, you know. And we're walking down the Strand, and we saw this faded out for Renaissance and called up the number, and there we were.
Damn.
And we were living there, you know. And so from there, we met Keith, and we met, you know, and then Worm and Panic, which would later reform with me and it become Black Flag, we met and we hung out and we played in that place. We called it the Wormhole.
Right.
Every night, every day.
The Wormhole was actually this tiki pad, because I heard the Wormhole was also one of the prac pads at the church.
No, Wormhole was down at the beach.
Okay. Okay.
Like right on the Strand.
Okay.
And so anyway, but you can see the church from the Wormhole out the back of the upstairs, or if you went outside and stood on the street, you could see the church. It was straight up the hill.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when the Wormhole crashed and burned and Worm went away, and I went full-time with Panic, and then we were jamming at the church.
Okay, okay. And you put in many, some people say it's not the years, it's the miles. So you put in the miles with the Black Flag. Chuck Dukowski Sextet, how does that come about?
Well, like, CD6 is set 90. I busted my hand in 95, end of 95, coming in 96, or was it beginning of 90? Somewhere in there, I busted my hand. I would say, put me out for a year in terms of the plan. And it took quite a while to rehab. And I didn't have a band, and I wanted to start a band, and Laura bought me that five string I play now, and it's sort of, I think, to goad me on, you know. I put together the sextet.
Oh, so Chuck, I forgot one band. There's a band in between, Swa.
Right, and then the reformation of Worm, too.
That's right. Worm, sorry.
And United Gang Members. And October Faction.
The Faction, that's right, with Joe Biden.
There's a whole pile of stuff went on in there.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry.
A couple of those groups were built around Greg Cameron, because Greg Cameron and I we had a copacetic vibe musically. He's a drummer. He's an amazing drummer. And I could tell the vibe was right away, even though he couldn't play very well yet. He was a young guy, he was like 16 or 17, and he was playing downstairs, and I heard him going, and I hadn't hurt myself or anything. I just wasn't in Black Flag. I wasn't doing anything, and I was upstairs, and so I just would go down and jam out with him. And it started out really remedial and got more and more advanced. He's a great drummer, good sense of rhythm, and has a good feel for me.
Yeah.
We got going together and did October Passion and the Swap, the Seals with Antlers together.
That's important you say that, Seals with Antlers, because I've heard some people try to say it's an abbreviation for swastika.
It's not an abbreviation for that. No, I'm not into that.
It's an acronym.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I was a big fan.
On the third record, we tried to be blunt about that while still toying with it.
Yeah. I was a big fan of Swa. I like much.
Yeah, I thought it was good music, you know.
Richie Ford on the guitar, Mel Ward on the singing.
Well, a bunch of guitar players, you know, really, you know, because if you think about it, we had Ray Cooper.
Ray, right, from the Descendants.
Richie Ford, before anybody heard it, we had Ted Falcone.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like he's responsible for the Seals with Antlers.
Okay. Wow, I didn't know that.
And
so to move it up forward, Laura gives you this 5-string bass, and this helps with your healing of your hand.
Yeah, in my mind, you know, it's like I said, you know what, this whole SSP world, this shit's ill. I need to get away from this guy, Greg, and be in a healthier body, get a healthier mind around mental environment, and I quit it in 97, and you know, he didn't want me to play. It's like a bad scene and bullshit with other people too, and playing people off. It was a bad scene, and I felt like I had to get out of there, but I was afraid. It had been my life, you know.
Sure.
But I did it, and I got out of there, and I moved in. Laura and I moved in together. We got married, and we moved in together up here on the west side. And she hooked me up with the bass and moved me forward, encouraged me to start something. And so then I did. You know, I worked with the drummer I did the United Gang Members with, because he also had a goodbye with me. And so I started jamming out with him, and it took me a minute to learn that fiber and to get my hand working properly again.
Sure.
And I started bringing in other players. And at some point I brought in Laura. I was like, you know, I knew she could sing well, and I thought, and you know, I had a deep emotional power, and also in a family environment, I felt like, you know, you either have something that divides you and keeps you apart, or something that pulls you together, and I chose the latter, and so I brought her in,
right.
And I kept making that choice to bring people in that closer to me.
What about the guitar man?
Well, that took a minute. We started out with just the first call I made was Lynn Johnston. Once I had the rhythm thing down, I was curious to play with someone besides a guitar player. I'd never done it.
Sure.
You know, so I brought in him, and he brought another guy who played saxophone, and Lynn would jump between sax and clarinet, and the two of them would get nuts, and that was cool. And then they brought another guy named Noah, who was a kind of a prog jazz bow guitarist, and so we had, for a while there, we were doing like that, and I brought Laurie in on that, and we were doing freeform composition, and as a six piece like that. And then the guitar player and the other woodwind went away, and we were down to four piece. We jammed for a while like that. And when we recorded, Milo came in. He was 16 at the time. He'd been playing guitar for about a year, something like that, about a year. And I thought he was good. And so he came in when we recorded the first time. And, you know, he just kept carving out a bigger and bigger piece of the sound until he became the only guy in the upper registers doing the melody harmony.
Because Lynn Johnson left.
Lynn Johnson got sick and left, yeah. He had to step out.
And so the sextet is actually a quartet.
It is now, yeah.
But you still keep the name.
Yeah. What the hell? We were. It was never pinned to the number, really. I just thought it was, you know, fun to be not literal in that way.
Yeah.
You know, to have it not make sense.
And then you guys made an album.
We made an album. We were doing a gig over at the Knitting Factory here in L.A.
Holly.
And Flea walked up to me and he says, "You want to record in my home studio?" And so we did. And that's when we made our first album.
Whoa.
And then a year and a half later, he had a nice setup there. That place burned down.
Yeah.
That was sad. I guess the gear and all the stuff and all the amazing things he had there got saved, but the pad was sweet too. So
yeah,
they're super nice people. Please, sweet and a true artist.
Yeah,
and great player. Anyway, so we did that album. That album's called Eat My Life. That's our first album. And it mostly features Lynn, but it also has Milo on it and Joe Biza. And Joe Biza does an amazing job.
That's right.
On a song called Freedom. And then Mario Lolly from Fatal Jetson and Yelling Man. He plays on the title song. And another one, what's it called? I don't remember the title, something about the endless death. I liked all that album. It was good. Then we recorded another one about a year and a half later, called Reverse the Polarity, like what Captain Kirk would say. You know, I don't know. What do you think, Spock?
Or maybe Scott.
Why do you reverse the polarity? You know, then everybody, all this hate would be love, and all this war would be peace, and stuff would be a lot better. Yeah, reverse the polarity.
Chuck, do you remember the one with Frank Gorshin where he's black on one side, white on the other, but his nemesis is a mirror of him?
White and black?
Yeah.
Right, it's like the Sneetches or something.
Yeah, do you remember that? They were like, you know, because Kirk can't understand the conflict. He said, "Look, he's black on the right side. I'm black on the left side."
Right, I'm dyslexic. I don't understand. Give me a break, man.
So
it's the stuff, you know, the fives and the s's and
right. Too complicated. So okay, you make that album.
Important the art. Yeah. I'm looking in reverse. It's got beautiful art.
But that's kind of the transition album. Lynn bows out. It's something more a Milo thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That is. It's like when we recorded it. I fully expected it to feature Lynn. But then he couldn't pull it. It's like he's just too sick. And so it ended up being, you know, Milo's tracks, which were mostly designed to be backing tracks. Luckily, he volunteered some more, you know, some more lead playing and whatnot while he was tracking. And so when it came down and we were left holding the bag, we still had, we had something to mix up.
You had shit in the sack.
Say what?
You had shit in the sack.
Right. We had some stuff to mix up, and I think the record's really good.
Yeah.
You know, and so that ends up featuring Milo, and you know, and it's got Tony Tournay too, the Jetson drummer. He was playing drums with us at that point too.
Okay. What about the man I saw Thursday?
The Slayer.
Yeah.
Ashton. Yeah, Ashton's great.
How does he come on board?
Well, let's see, for about a year after, for a little while there, we were jamming with Tournay, and he just wasn't giving us any time to practice. And so we started jamming out with the drummer from Insects vs. Robots, Milo's band.
Right.
And he was playing with us when Tony wasn't around. And at a certain point, I just said, like, why mess with both of these, this artificial separation, and you know, let Tournay do his stuff with Jetson, which is one of my favorite bands, and just focus in with the crew that's closer to home here, not having to make the trek across town to jam out. And so we jammed for about a year with Tony Peluso, who was the guy from Insects vs. Robots. And we recorded about half of the new album with him. And but it was kind of the same deal. He wasn't giving us enough time jams-wise. And I started jamming out with... I was producing some stuff for this group, The Shrine, who are a great group here in Venice. And Ashton was rolling up and, you know, being a really enthusiastic presence at the sessions.
Yeah.
And this guy's great. And I thought to myself, didn't this guy play in Rabies? Rabies was like the last great hardcore band. And we had done some gigs with them around town, and wasn't he the drummer in Rabies? And Josh from Shrine said, yeah, he played in Rabies. He was the drummer for Rabies. And I'm like, damn, you know. And so I asked him, you want it, you know, because I knew he was playing bass in Voodoo Merchant, and I asked him if he, you know, was down to still play some drums. And he said sure, and in fact he'd been wanting to, and so then he and I started getting together on one day a week and just jamming out, the two of us, and then at a certain point down the line, it's kind of the same deal. It's like, you know, let's focus in where it's got a good natural energy, and work on that more, and so we focused in with Ashton, and he finished out the album and did the second half of it, and now he's our drummer. We love him.
Yeah. That hat. The hat.
Yeah. Well, Ashton's got, you know, the first time I saw the hat, but he's got the personality that's going to bring that hat. You know, it's like, I feel like the people, there's a lot to be made about the, you know, he's just got a lot of enthusiasm about life.
Which is priceless. I love it.
The hat, you know, that's representative of it.
Okay.
With
a beard.
With these lots of hair.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the hair, the beard, the hat.
Yeah, right.
He's like the not pert approach to being a drummer. You got those two schools, the crazy man, you know, the Keith Moon approach, or the Neil Peart approach, you know, right. Like, and so this is the Moon approach to things. Yeah, I'm with that, you know. I mean, I go with, you know, I play a lot of the Peart side,
sure,
you know,
sure,
over the years, mostly that side. Ashton's the loosey-goosey approach to things, and I appreciate that. It's fun.
Yeah. What's future plans for the sextet?
Say what?
Future plans.
Oh, we're going to plan a gig this Friday.
Okay.
Over at House of Blues, and we play all the time. You know, we play every week or two here in L.A. And within driving distance, or if someone will, as long as they don't have to, if someone will give me a place to stay, then I'll roll out to their thing, you know?
Sure. What about album? Do you plan on making an album with Ashton from the ground up?
Oh, fully. You know, we're already working on that.
Okay.
You know, we've got the new album coming out. It comes out Tuesday.
And is Ashton on all those tracks?
No, he's on half those tracks.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Haunted, that's the new album. Thank you, Orb Records, for stepping up and making it possible for us to have an album.
Which is actually the third. It's the third sextet album.
Yeah, third sextet album. First one with that label. First time I've done a record with a label that I wasn't the dude who made it happen, made the label happen, you know? That's an interesting transition for me. You've been doing pretty much of that. You had New Alliance, but you reported with SST and Sony and talked with a pile of other labels. But this is my first time doing something
like
that.
You know, Chuck, I went and made my own label again. I have Clenched Wrench now.
That's awesome.
My last three releases, and it's in association with the Org Music people.
Well, cool. So they're working with you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's kind of a co-op thing.
That's great.
So, and you know, New Alliance was a total, you guys inspired us, what can I say, us Minutemen were so inspired by you guys, your whole paradigm, and to be with you all these years later is such a righteous thing.
Well, cool, Mike. Thank you.
And you know, and you got a lot of, well, thank you. But you got a lot under your belt. So I'm wondering, if somebody asked you to give some advice to young people getting into music, what would that be?
Oh, play a lot. That's the most important thing. You know, less talk, more jams.
Okay. I think that's
it's persist. You know, work hard and persist. You have to be, that's important about the music and all the things that are extracurricular to the music. You know, the hardest thing about a band is personnel, not the music, though. And that's where the persisting and not getting all caught up in sidetracked with personality stuff is important. Really easy to do. Bands go down to that stuff, and it's a real tragedy because no one needs to. They don't need to do it. It's like they don't really hate each other. They just get caught up.
Oh, you're talking about drama.
I'm talking, personnel. You know, it's like keeping a group together. You got to persist. You have to have a band that stays together.
You need a crew.
Yeah, you need a crew, and you need to actually sail across the ocean, you know? It's like, okay, Columbus, what was it, 8 weeks or something? Yeah.
I think it was 3 months.
Was it?
Yeah. I was just in Seville, you know, where he set sail from.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need a crew that is less prone to drama.
Or at least keeps that internal. You know, it's like, as long as you keep going, it doesn't matter how dramatic you are. You gotta keep going.
Okay.
So you can squabble, you can make a lot of noise, right. but you need to keep going.
Right.
So you keep going. The more focused you are, the better. You know, I mean, it's like you see the Shrine guys are very focused. And,
yeah,
and
sure.
So now 3 years or so on, they're starting to push through a little bit.
Right.
Because it takes a long time, you know. It doesn't happen. People, the schools teach you that stuff happens in a semester or a year.
Yeah.
And nothing happens that quick.
Yeah.
It takes several years to even poke your nose up. Consistent effort, and people, you know, you need to go after it and have a, and it needs to be driven by the love. You know, if it's driven by the love, it'll be easier to go after it and keep pushing and keep playing. And then you need to not, you know, driven by, you need to, you know, not lose track of the music. The music has to be good. You know, it's like what are people buying? You know,
and then, okay. So you're saying you need focus and you need to be relentless.
Yeah, you need to be, and you got to keep the spirit while you're doing it, which is part of the focus, you know?
Sure, sure. Yeah, I know. I hear you.
Because that's what you're selling, you know? You're selling the spirit. You know, people think you're selling, you know, it's like, what are people there for? They're there to feel the vibe, you know? It's like, that's, people lose track of that, and that's where people try to, you know, someone will, oh, I'll take it over, and rah, 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 but no one's really, you gotta be so compelling as a, because really a rock band is about people working together. That's what's special about humans, you know, is we work together.
And the problem, a big problem is we get distracted.
Sure. But in our lives, like I said, I think some of that's not by accident. I think we're trained to distraction because there's people who would like to provide the focus for us.
Ah, yeah, a gatekeeper or a toll booth monitor,
an employer. Yeah. Yeah, a government,
yeah. Right. So
who works for the employer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The principals. Some principal.
You mean principal like the school?
Oh yeah, the PAL, PAL, not PLE. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, look, I think that's great advice, and actually, I try to work that into my hustle. I want to thank you so much for being on the show, Chuck. I mean, to me, like I said, from the old days, big inspiration. And you never gave up.
Well, it's not about giving up, is it? It's about doing what you're meant to do. That's another big thing. I've noticed that people who are doing what they're meant to do, because the Eastern religion thing, they're not off track there, you know. Or the hippies, you know. It's like you got to find yourself, and then once you are doing what you're meant to be, then the power lines up behind you, you know, and stuff happens. It's like surfing or something. You know, you get up on the wave, and now you're jamming. You know, and as long as you're in the pocket of that wave, you're moving. You know, but if you decide to fight it or something, you're gonna dissipate your energies, or at least you're not gonna, you know, you're just out there paddling. You know, you're not gonna move nearly as well as when you're surfing.
Yeah, but I mean, you're sensitive to this stuff. I think some people, they get kind of thick in the head about those, or in the spirit, or whatever. They're not so sensitive. They get calluses, maybe.
Yeah, people are all those different ways. That's true, you know. But people also line it up, you know, and so it's you know. I feel, you know, you try to be inspirational to people because, you know, it's like, I feel like I said it in the other interview I did the other night. It's like, you know, you're coming up in life and you're feeling these things inside that you need or want to do and that are important to you, and each person's different that way.
Yeah.
You're feeling what's right and what's wrong and all that. You're having all these strong feelings.
Yeah.
It's not a phase.
Yeah.
It ain't no phase. It's not going to stop.
Right.
If you fool yourself that it's a phase, then you miss the boat. Then it's, you end up on the wrong boat and you're like, oh, geez. What am I doing here,
Sure.
It's like you just got to listen to what you're actually about in the end. Know that it's not a phase. Know that it's real. The things that you feel are real.
And you, personally, have a strong connection with music.
Yeah, that's where it's like I've always, from when I was really little, before I could play, I wanted to play.
Well, thank you for being true to that vision, Chuck. And thank you for being on
Mike,
the show.
You too. You're doing it too, It's like,
if I'm going down, I'm going down. If I'm going down, I'm going down swinging.
Sure, that's a way of putting
or
it.
Or paddling.
Everybody goes down in the end,
right.
But it's like, you got to do what you love.
Yeah.
And by doing what you love, you do a better job.
I like that idea.
I think that. So thanks a lot, Mike.
Yeah, respect to you, Chuck. Thanks for coming on board.
And all the crew out there on computer land or whatever it is, whoever checks in on the show.
Yeah. It's other cats making music, Chuck. It's the next shift.
Awesome.
Okay. Respect to you. See you soon.
Till then. Bye.
Out. Okay, good people. There you go. Interview with Mr. Chuck Dukaski. Most of it done a couple days later. Actually, it was Sunday, the 17th of June. So 3 days after we began it. But like I said, 3 minutes was not enough or whatever. Maybe almost four, but we need the rest of the hour. So Chuck could let you know. I should have probably used headphones because there was that annoying echo stuff. But I still think the spirit of Chuck came through and very informative infos. It's been the June 14th, 2012 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show. I want to thank everybody for listening, and I'm very happy to let you check out these three groups I got to play with. Next show will be on a boat in Pedro. Keep your powder dry.